Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Warren Wiersbe writes in his commentary of the Psalms, "It does no good to build and guard our houses and cities if there are no future generations to inherit them and keep the family, cities, and nation going. If we do not raise our children to know and love the truth, who will plant the seeds of truth and fight the battles against lies and evil in the years to come? It is in the family that we preserve the best of the past and invest in the future. And every baby born is God's vote for the future of humankind and our opportunity to make some new beginnings. It is true that not everyone is supposed to get married, and not all who are married will be able to have children, but every adult can value all children. They can pray for them, are good examples to them, and see that they are protected and cared for. They can see that their souls are fed and nourished and thriving, just as their Heavenly Father does for them. Children today have been stripped of their families, and the support and the nourishment that comes from the fertile ground upon which families grow together, and then to become fathers and mothers themselves, taking the lessons learned, the faith received, and the love shown them, and extending it out into the world through the continuation of generation after generation, in the building of traditions, and by the celebrations of love that will sustain all, causing them to thrive." The following are excerpts from an article by Jason S. Carroll called "We Need Dads More Than Ever." Studies show that fathers tend to be particularly attuned to developing children's physical, emotional, and intellectual independence. In everything from children making their own lunches and tying their own shoes to doing household chores and making decisions for themselves after they have left home. Fathers are also more likely than mothers to encourage children to take risks while also ensuring safety and security, thus helping children develop confidence, navigate new transitions, and bravely confront unfamiliar situations. Fathering has a statistically significant connection to a number of outcomes, including physiological well-being, emotional resilience, improved social relationships, and higher academic achievement. This was true for both boys and girls of different ages. You see, mothers are more nurturing in their relationship with their children, but fathers tended to be more involved in preparing their children to deal with life. Fathers also play a unique role in the emotional development of their children. When fathers respond to children's emotional distress, they are more likely to focus on fixing the problem than they are addressing the hurt feelings. This seeming indifference to the emotion may not appear nurturing, but becomes very useful as children grow older, as children tend to seek out and share things with their dads precisely because of their measured problem-solving responses. And the indifference actually becomes a strategic form of nurturing in emotionally charged situations. Father involvement has also been proven to be a strong protection against delinquent and criminal behaviors in their children's lives, and this continues into adulthood for boys. The mere presence of a father in the home predicates less delinquent behavior. And research also shows that while mothers tend to intervene and correct children more frequently than fathers, when fathers discipline, they tend to more often hold the line. Fathers' willingness to confront their children and enforce discipline appears to engender a sense of authority and boundary setting that can shape children's sense of stability, order, and self-control. Children need both a mother and father to balance and teach strengths and wisdom. These are the things that strengthen the child and help them to grow and achieve and steer clear of various kinds of trouble. The book of Proverbs is filled with life's lessons written in the hand of wisdom and with warning to the dangers of folly, because folly will empty the home of fathers. She will lead man down the paths of separation, separation from God and from the blessing that he has bestowed upon the man, his family. Psalm 127 and 4, Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. This means don't anger or irritate to a high degree or provoke to rage, to enrage, to excite anger, or to inflame it to an extreme degree, to aggravate, to embitter. Do not change the innocence of your child's love to rage and anger by teaching your children to hate and not trust, and by this filling them with feelings of worthlessness. Paul wrote in Colossians 3 and 21, Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. They will lose heart, and they will become broken in spirit. These are the curses that fall upon the generations to the third and the fourth that were spoken of in Galatians 6 and 8. It says, Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows, and whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. And whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. It is the sowing and reaping of sinful behavior that brings down the generations that follow one another. When left to their own, children will find what they need wherever they can, and there are plenty of people and ways to fill the void left by a father's love. Love, as the world knows it, will not fill that void, but will erode the walls erected to defend the child and expose them to the elements to face on their own, without knowledge of what lies behind every corner, of who waits in the dark alleys of life. And they will look for someone, anyone, who will show them that they are wanted and loved, and this they will pass down to their children. How often does darkness come to us disguised as light? We are called by God to set ourselves aside and to help another pick up their cross, and this includes the children who have been brought into this world. We all start on the same page when we are conceived. It is only in the physical world that the differences can be known by wealth or status or background or whatever. But all, the Word of God states clearly, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all born with a sinful nature. We're prone to do wrong. We need to be taught to do what is right. And as God the Father teaches each of us when we come to Him, we too are to teach and pass down to the next generation what is right and just and how to rebuke evil and wickedness. You see, love teaches and discipline corrects, and together life flourishes. Broken families, broken homes, broken spirits abound today because of the attacks that have accumulated against the family unit, and the result, it is now a reality. Chaos in the home, chaos in the school, chaos in the government, and in the way that we view one another. You see, Psalm 127 is speaking from birth, of growing together into the latter days in a familial relationship. Parents and children grow together. They face the world together. They conquer common enemies together. And the ties that bind them are as strong as those that bind a man to God. And they cannot be broken unless someone walks away. And it is said by God, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that means that you will be the one turning your back to God. Oh, it's a beautiful thing to watch a family thrive together, to face struggles together, and to grow together. But it is unfortunately a reality today that the world system does not want this flourishment to exist. And it seeks to divide and separate, to weaken and destroy, to conquer and control. Well past is the time for men to be men again, to step in the way of destruction, to be the voice of reason, to help in the fullness of the upbringing of not only their children, but to stand in the gap for those who have no one else who will do it for them. Men, hear the cries of the children. I speak from experience, as I come from a home where there was no father figure to lead the family or guide the children so to be wise to the ways of the world. The pain that comes starts out as cries and then turns to anger, and as the anger builds, mistrust sets in. And when mistrust has completed setting up shop, there's no room for God, and without God, there's no hope. It is pain. A lifetime of pain that sets in, and it comes whether it is a son or a daughter that is left behind. And when and if that child comes to the Lord, pain from the lack of relationship with an earthly father becomes a cloud that shadows their relationship with their heavenly father, because they don't know how to relate to a father figure, and they struggle to come into the understanding of a healthy and loving relationship. Dads, we need you. Heavenly Father, I lift up to you those that have children who have abandoned their children both mentally or physically, and those who yet will have children. I lift up to you the men of this world, of this nation, of our cities and our families, and I ask, Lord, that you would reveal to them in whatever way it may take to get their attention, that you would reveal yourself to them and remind them that they are loved and can be forgiven, that their strength will come from you, that their love is to be a reflection of yours, that their children need them. The world needs them to take their rightful place in your order of things so that they may stand in the gap between righteousness and wickedness and evil, doing this with the power and the authority of God so that they may reclaim what has now been lost for too many generations. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.